Luke 24:13. There's probably half a dozen or more communities that are preaching on this today. It's a very popular topic to speak on after Easter, but it's a story that kind of starts, you know, a bit sad, and then it just kind of gets better as it goes on. But let's read it together, okay? So Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13, the road to Emmaus. A familiar story, but let's read a few verses. In fact, I'm just going to start in verse 12 because, you know, it's back to Resurrection Sunday. They've come to the tomb. The ladies have arrived there. The body's not there. Peter runs there and then realizes in verse 12, you know, he kind of says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Verse 13, now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other and about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still. It's like they stopped, right? They stopped. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you like the only visitor in Jerusalem? Don't you know what's been happening here these last few days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. But we had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, and who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Skipping ahead to verse 28, we'll catch the others in a moment. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Wow. Now that's a story, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that some of the saddest words in our language begin with the word D? With the letter D, I should say. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, despair,
that's it.
And death. And all of these words applied for Cleopas, the person in the story. It doesn't identify who the other person was. Some think it was another disciple or of Jesus. Some say it may have been his wife. It's not clear, but certainly all of these emotions were in play for Cleopas. And as we journey through this life, I think stuff happens that turns out differently than sometimes we think it's going to, sometimes radically differently than we think, than we could have ever have thought or imagined. And in verse 12, we see it there with Peter. He's like, what happened? And then as we read on in verse 14, they were sort of saying the same thing, like, what happened? Their hopes and fears were dashed. The dream was over, and they were getting out of Dodge. They're getting out of Jerusalem, and they go on this journey. You know, one of the other emotions that they were probably feeling was that of fear. And they're like, you know, we can't stay in the city. Like, we've got to get out of here. I mean, this is a dangerous place. Fear, I came across an acrostic. I think I have a slide for it. It says this, you know, oftentimes, usually, it's self-generated fear based on our own interpretations of what we see. false evidence appearing real. One writer said this, fear is something that we all have to deal with. All of us are born with something that's intrinsic as it relates to fear. Fear of falling, of the dark, of lobsters, of falling on lobsters in the dark, of speaking to a Rotary Club or getting a microphone like this in your hand, or perhaps the thing that strikes fear in my heart, you open up something and it says, some assembly required. But their entire world and this moment was seemingly coming apart. And then Jesus shows up. But they didn't recognize him at the moment. Sometimes the biggest moments in life go unnoticed, don't they, at that time. When Jesus was born, you know, there were some shepherds, they kind of got the idea. There was some angelic, you know, visitation that took place. But by and large, the whole region had no idea what was happening. Jesus came in a completely different way at his birth than they were expecting. And I have to say, he went out in a completely different way than they were expecting too, wasn't it? And that left them feeling the way that they did. Have you ever been in that place where you just said to yourself, or you just yelled out to God, maybe you're driving in the car, maybe you're by yourself, maybe, you know, maybe the kids are in the house, whatever it is, and you just kind of yell out to God, it's like, I don't know what's going on here. Anybody said that in the last week or month or so? Like, what is going on? I can't make sense of this. But even in the midst of that place, the Lord always wants to speak truth over us. He always wants to say, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you hope and to give you a future. Or he might say, hey, what about, you know, that time that you memorized that verse about trust in the Lord with all of your, trust in me with all of your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Like in all of your, you said all, in all of your ways, you were going to acknowledge me. And then remember, I was going to come and direct your path. Oh yeah, that part. You see, Jesus knew all along what his destiny was. But his challenge was getting his disciples to comprehend that. You see, we read it, and in hindsight, it's very easy for us to sort of say, like, wow, what were they thinking? I mean, he was talking about it. But I'll tell you, I would imagine that when you see somebody crucified on a cross and die a violent death, I mean, that kind of changes things around for you. It becomes final. And that's kind of the place where they were at. But there's a couple of things here that I think that I would just like to highlight, and that is a couple of things that jumped out for me anyway. Verse 16, look at that. So they were kept from recognizing him. Now how that was, I don't know, was the sun shining low, it was late afternoon, you know, was his head partially covered or something like that? I don't think so. I think it was kind of more of a, there was something that was maybe some scales that were on their eyes. So exactly how that happened, I'm not sure is as important as looking at why were they kept from recognizing him. You see, they were on this 2-hour walk, right? So, you know, kind of the equivalent from, it says 7 miles, I Googled it yesterday, that would be the equivalent of walking from Brentwood Bay down to Broadmead Shopping Center. So that's quite a walk, right? And so they're on this walk of 7 miles together. And why is it that Jesus decided that he was going to not allow them to recognize him at that moment? And he's going to come and start asking them questions. Why does that happen, do you think? Why did that happen? One writer said this, it would be that Jesus is always looking to, that we could be in a place where we could verbalize